Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so excited. I have Sam Bakhtiar with me here today. Sam, it's so great to have you on the podcast.
Sean, thank you for having me on your amazing podcast. It's an honor and privilege to be here.
Well, my team puts together like show notes, and then when I have somebody really big, they kind of blow it up for me. Like, don't screw this one up. Like when I had Andy Frisella, and there's other ones down the line, they're like, don't screw Brad Lee and whoever it is. And they go, don't screw this one up. Yeah, you have a great following on Instagram and you and I seem to be committed to a couple of the same things. I mean, fitness seems to be pretty important to you, and being a CEO and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I mean, I love, working out and anchoring my day, and I love, chasing the American dream, working for myself, making my own hours and making my own freedom.
You know, people don't realize that part that you just talked about. Making money is great, but when I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I was smart enough to realize that the money was probably the last thing I was going to get, but the freedom of schedule and not being told what to do, when to do it, that was my greatest motivator.
I agree. Sean, I think that we all came to this great country we call the United States of America for freedom. We all left, our ancestors, whatever country it was, they came here for freedom. However, are you really free? If you are, working in a job that you absolutely don't like to be, are you free if somebody else dictates your time? And you're not, if you're, driving an hour to work 8, 9, 10 hours, with people you absolutely don't like, and then have to drive back home for an hour, that's jail. That's a death sentence.
People don't realize that. When I would say, if somebody tells you when to go to work, what to do while you're there, I'm sorry, you've given up a great deal of freedom.
I agree. I 100% agree. That's not, that's why they call it the American dream, owning your own business and becoming an entrepreneur and creating something, solving a problem for someone, and that's what America is all about. America is all about coming here for freedom, not just freedom of speech and freedom of carrying arms and all that kind of stuff, but freedom of time.
Oh, it's like no other country. And I tell people this, and people tell me about their job. And I had a dream job and got let go overnight because of a leadership change. So I am fine with, if you have a job you love and you do it well. I have a daughter who's a school teacher. She's incredible. She's in her niche. I love it. I have a son who's an entrepreneur. I'm fine either way. But what my brain can't get around is if I take my daughter's situation, okay, you're 25, you get your job. You start out, let's say you're a teacher, you start at $40,000. You're an engineer, whatever the dollar figure is. You basically are getting about a 3% pay raise, if you're lucky, for the rest of your life. Do you realize that you've basically agreed to almost a communistic system of finance? Your lifestyle is capped.
Yeah, I don't like socialism. I don't like communism. I love a place where I can be rewarded for my hard work. And I'm sorry, everybody makes their own choices, and if somebody wants to not work, I'm not going to judge them. That's their work. If somebody doesn't want to hustle, they don't want to hustle. They want to learn a new skill. I can't judge you, you can just do what you want to, but if I want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, work hard, learn new skills, make things happen, solve problems for people and add value to the world, but I want to be rewarded for it.
I'm the same way. I mean, I grew up, to be kind to my parents, less than middle class, and I'm being very, very kind. But I always knew that if I worked hard and excelled in something, it would pay off. I think that innate, we kind of know that innately in this country that you have that, you definitely have that opportunity. So tell me your journey. I want to hear because there's always a rags to riches.
Well, I mean, I'm typical immigrant story. We came to the United States when I was 11. I thought I was going to Beverly Hills because that's what I saw on TV. They didn't have, Google and YouTube. And, so my research when I was 11 is watch American shows and see what America is all about. And I was watching shows that, Dallas Dynasty and the A-Team. it kind of shows how old I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought everybody in America was a millionaire and everybody had Bentleys and everybody had Olympic sized swimming pools. But when I landed in America, you know, we came to a little town called Sharon in the state of Pennsylvania, which is an old steel mill town, you know, abandoned buildings, abandoned steel mills. 1985 was the middle of crack cocaine epidemic, you know, and my first impression of America was, you know, my uncle's little convenience store in the ghetto. You know, I remember outside, it was brick roads, abandoned buildings, pimps, prostitutes, and drug dealers outside. And that's where I kind of grew up from 11 to like 23. And I was shocked because I really thought I was coming to Beverly Hills.
You know, that was a shock. That's what you just described, you know, it's something out of maybe a Hollywood movie, but not Beverly Hills.
No, it's crazy. You know, long story short, I went through high school there, through high school, you know, I was getting bullied. I was getting picked on. I was called in. I was the only minority, you know, in Sharon, Pennsylvania. And, went to college, you know, I got my degree. You know, my mom said, you know, if you want to be, you know, successful in life, there's only three choices, doctor, lawyer, engineer. And then I came to Los Angeles College of Chiropractic, got my doctorate degree, you know, my mom can be happy. And in February 15th of 2000, you know, right after I graduated, I started my first gym. And I never looked back since then.
Yeah, tell me about your company. Okay, obviously, I don't want to screw this up, but 1% supplements. So yeah. How did that happen? And obviously, it completely aligns with your passion.
Yeah, 1% supplements just came out only a few years ago, you know, and for me, it's not about just, you know, selling a supplement. It's all about the mindset. It's all about who you are. And when I first launched the 1% brand, a lot of people took it the wrong way, you know, because obviously, you know, I came out with a shirt. And the shirt says, you know, be a 1%er, the other 99% are fat and broke. And
I happen to like that idea, but you can continue.
Because you understand
where exactly. I'm coming from,
you know, and but for the average person, you know, it's a little too much for them. You know, for the average person, when they see, you know, when they see somebody, they say, well, what do you say? You're better than me because you have money, because you have muscles, because you have a straight a six pack. You know, you're putting everybody else down. That's not, no. Cause I wasn't born with money. I wasn't born with shredded six pack, and neither are you or neither anyone else, but I chose to work hard at it. I chose, you know, to delay gratification. I chose to sacrifice to get to where I am today, you know, and 1% is all about somebody who has a goal and is willing to do whatever it takes to achieve that goal, is willing to sacrifice, is willing to delay gratification, is willing to stand out, is willing to not do what everybody else is doing and just do the opposite. And that was the notion of the 1% supplement. But man, in the beginning, boy, I had so many lashback. Everybody wanted to kind of murder my name and say, oh, Sam is just cocky and arrogant and he thinks he's better than everybody. Hasn't had nothing to do with that.
But that we, you know, it's funny. I kind of get that sometimes too. But I do believe successful people have an underlying confidence that intimidates people that are not, you know, they're not high achievers. They have no desire to high achieve. So there's such a contrast. So it's just easier to say, you know, to criticize them. But you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger's life, it's a parallel. I mean, you know, talking about, an immigrant lifted weights, could barely speak English, you know, comes over here. Barely speak English, has extraordinarily high goals. And is in the 1%.
Well, Sean, in life, you know, what I've learned is no matter what you do, somebody's not going to approve of you.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back at, you know, some of the people that most everybody respects, you know, or everybody, they're in high regards. Even some of those people, some people don't like. Not everybody liked Mother Teresa. Not everyone loved Mohammed Gandhi. Not everyone likes Jesus. And if they didn't get a high approval or the highest approval or everybody's approval, then who am I to even think about everybody liking me or not? So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people, you know, not liking me and all that kind of stuff. You know, as long as I know what I'm all about, I'm also I know what I do. You know, in life, you're not going to get approval of everybody. Somebody's going to be happy.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And tell me about, you know, how you help entrepreneurs, because I know you, you know, mentoring is huge for you. And you know, it's just kind of give us, you know, your, you know, how, I know being a CEO, I know mentoring, I know they're massively important to you, but I want you to be able to kind of frame it in the way that, you know, that you can talk to people on the show.
Well, you know, I love helping people at this stage of my life. You know, I can say, you know, for most of my life, Sean, I was trying to pay the bills. I was always, okay, I got to make money, I got to make money, I got to work, I got to work. I wasn't thinking about helping others because I was sinking, right? And when you're sinking, you're just trying to come above the water.
Survival.
You know, just survival most. I was just hustling, working, trying to make things happen. I got to a point in my life right now where everything is good. You know, I don't have to worry about my next meal. You know, and now I'm like, okay, what's the next stage of my life? You know, and my next stage of my life is to try to help people, try to get more fulfillment, you know, try to pass on what I know, what I've done with my companies, and help other entrepreneurs, other people aspiring, you know, to climb the ladder of success, you know, to help them in their life. Nothing feels better than helping others succeed, because success is a lonely place, because success means you became successful. Significance means that your success rubbed off other people and now you're more significant. I don't want success. I want significance at this stage of my life.
Yeah. John Maxwell has a short little book on that. That's so good, you know, in his group of quick leadership books, but you know, there is a difference between success and significance. There's no doubt about that. So how do people, you know, connect with you where you're able to help them, because I know that you have, you know, stuff in place that's just extraordinarily valuable for entrepreneurs.
And they can, you know, just reach me on Instagram or Facebook. And my handles is Sam Bakhtiar, Bakhtiar. And they can text me directly. I have a community number, which is 909-200-4015.
And that'll be in the show notes, of course, because I want my audience to be able to connect with you. And what do you see as the biggest problems? You know, I try to pick just a couple of small things, but what's like the one piece of advice you like to share with startup founders where you just find them, you know, you see a constant mistake, but it's like one thing that jumps out to you?
I see that a lot of times, man, a lot of people are doing something to trying to make money, or they're focused on too many different things. They have a shiny object syndrome, right? You know, they always say, okay, if this doesn't work out, you know, I'll do this. If this doesn't work out, I'll do this. And this doesn't work out, I'll do this. Sometimes you have to figure out what you really want to do and just go all in and make it work. If you follow success, anybody who was ever successful, they honed on one thing and they went all in. And after series of failures and trials and tribulations, they finally made it. And if you're somebody who wants to, you know, be successful, now, don't go from one thing, oh, that didn't work. Burn the boats, you know, give yourself no way to go back and just go all in on whatever that one thing is and make it happen.
I love it. I remember I heard a speech by Arnold Schwarzenegger where he says, there is no plan B.
Yeah.
There is no plan B. It's funny, and a good story, you'll utilize this and you probably have heard it before, but in, you know, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are, you know, the best of friends, and there was a dinner engagement. And Bill Gates' father gave Warren Buffett an index card and gave his son an index card. And he said, hey, just write the one thing that you attribute most to your success. And then he got those cards, you know, after dinner, and he looked at them, and the exact same thing was written on both of them. Focus. Mm-hmm. Focus. And you, right. Focus is singular. It is, you're looking through a microscope. You're looking at one thing.
So true. And especially, you know, with the young entrepreneurs, man, I know there's, now, the problem with today is there's so many different ways to be successful. Just pick one.
Yeah, I think the big problem I find, you know, and I know you get the DMs, I get the DMs, is that there's no patience anymore. I feel like I'm a fairly bright guy and have been around fairly bright people and have interviewed fairly bright people. I have had nobody on my show that has been successful in a weekend. I've had nobody in my show that's been successful in a week. It, you know, success is absolutely a process and a journey. And I think the biggest problem with social media is people are under this idea that it happened overnight. Like the Kardashians did not happen overnight. Please go back and read that story. Okay. That was extraordinary work, extraordinary ahead of the time. I mean, you know, I haven't found any of, I don't find overnight successes. I just don't.
They don't see all the previous chapters. They don't see all the failures. They don't see all the devastation. They don't see all the no's. They don't see all the doors shut in their face. You know, they don't see all that. They just see, wow, oh my God, she's made it, or he's made it. And, oh my God. And it was like all of a sudden out of nowhere, they came up. No. They, you know, you plant seeds and nothing happens and happens and happens. All of a sudden they all sprout. As long as you keep planting the seed and having faith that someday they will sprout, they will eventually sprout.
It's so true. It's funny. You know, I'm a faith-based guy and I have a simple prayer I say every morning. I'm like, Lord, hey, listen, I want people I may never meet to promote me today, to advance me today, to tell others about me today, to create invitations today. People I may never meet because I'm old enough to know that I've had things happen that are unexplainable, where I get that email inviting me to an event that Tony Robbins is going to be on it. Oh, John Maxwell is going to be on. You know, John Gore. I'm like, man, I'm not in that league, you know. And just things happen, that's unexplainable. But it's years and years and years of plotting seeds in the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all it is, you know. And a lot of people just give up. They want a home run, and then if they don't hit a home run, they just become like just that little kid and have a temper tantrum. Nothing is working. I'm just going to quit. And quit just means that you don't have faith in God. You know, quit means you don't have faith, man. You know, quit means that you just gave up. You know, I always said, you know, it's something I always say, obstacle is not in the way. Obstacle is the way, you know, and as long as you understand that in life and know that obstacles is what God put in front of you to see if you're worthy of his blessing. If you quit, you're not worthy of his blessing. But if you persist and you're resilient, God says, hey, man, this kid, you know, he's ready to work for it. God is not going to give you $1 million, not going to fall out of the sky and also land on your lap. You got to go get it. There's opportunities. God puts you here for you to become the best version of yourself. You know,
I love it. You're speaking my language. You know, I'm a Liberty graduate. So, you know, that's either good or bad to so many people out there, but it worked out really good for me. So I'll take it. Man, Sam, it is just so great to have you on the podcast. Let me ask you one last thing, and it may tie into something you've already said, but looking back, you know, neither of us are 30 years old. Looking back, what do you wish you would have known when you first got started that you know now? If you could tell your younger self something.
I would give myself two pieces of advice. One, watch who you hang around with. You know, always take an inventory of who you hang around with. You know, we all know, you know, the power of proximity, you know, and I'm not going to go into details. Everyone knows that, you know, if you hang around with five broke people, you're going to be the sixth one. You're going to hang around with five millionaires, you're going to be the sixth one. Secondly, practice delayed gratification every single day. You know, delayed gratification is, in my opinion, the number one predictor of success. And if you're not willing to give up something you want right now for something greater later, then you're going to be in an instant gratification state all the time. And instant gratification, again, is going to leave you fat, broke, and unhappy.
No, it's so true, Sam. It is so great to have you on this podcast. This is one of the interviews I have been looking forward to. I know you said it before, but tell them how they can connect with you.
Sean, first of all, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. You know, I love your show and I love everything that you're doing for the community and all the great stuff you put out there. So I appreciate being on your show. Again, my social media handle is Sam Bakhtiar, BAKHTIAR. I'm very active on Instagram and Facebook. And also, you know, I have a community number. Someone can text me at any time, 909-200-4015. And believe it or not, I'm actually texting people back. You know, it's me. You know, it's not a robot. It's not another like that. Yeah. It's me. Text me. You know, it might take me 24 to 48 hours to respond, but believe me, it's me responding back.
Sam, I so appreciate it. We had an incredible guest today. I want to thank you all for listening to the podcast where you get so much so fast. Very simple goal with this podcast: equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs in the least amount of time possible. You have a great day. We'll talk again soon.